Revelation chapter 1. I think tonight's going to bless your heart because it's blessed mine. Amen. Some things are ooey-wowee. Some things are, oh, wow, that's great. Tonight, I think it's going to be one of those, oh, that's really great type things. Okay? So, we've been looking at the first chapter, and we finished there with verse 10 last week. Verse 11 says this, saying, I am Alpha and Omega. We studied that over there in verse number 8. Remember that? Where Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. He says it again in verse number 11. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. That's the book you have in your hands. What he saw, he wrote. And what God told him to write. And you have that book. Aren't you glad? Watch this. It says, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. So, we learned that these are not what we would call Asia, but this is an area that the Roman Empire called Asia. We call it Asia Minor. At the time, it was called Asia. And if you were on the Isle of Patmos, and you were facing north, to your right would be Ephesus, right on the coast. And as this letter was sent, it's interesting, if you took a boat and you went to Ephesus as this letter was delivered, Ephesus would be the first church that it would go to. And then if you looked on the map, as you're looking at the map, the next church after Ephesus on the route, it was kind of like a half circle, the next church would be Pergamos. And the next church would be Smyrna. And the next, and it was a mail route. Interesting, going in that direction. I don't know if that's life-changing, but notice this. It does not say to the church in Asia. It doesn't say to the church. It says to the churches, plural, individual. That's important for this lesson. And, individual churches with individual pastors that are operating individually. Okay? Nobody is over them, the head. They all, Jesus is supposed to be the head of the church, right? Then the pastor is the under-shepherd, okay? And then the church, that's what you have pictured here to the churches in Asia. Look at verse 12. It says, and I turned to see the voice. Remember, that's Jesus. We learned that up there in verse 10, right? So that voice is not just a sound, the voice is the Lord Jesus. So he turned and saw Jesus, and then watch this, and I turned to see the voice. Okay, everybody see the beauty of this? Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word. You don't see a voice unless it's a person. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And then it says here, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, plural. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and a girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So in the middle of these lampstands, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, is the Lord Jesus. And he's in the middle of them. It's amazing to me how many people speculate what the candlesticks are when verse 20 tells you what the candlesticks are. Look at verse 20. It says, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. I don't have to wonder what the candlesticks are. They're churches. The candlestick is the picture that God wants us to think about when we think about the church, and the church is God's candlestick. Okay? Now, we're talking about each local church is a candlestick. You say, when you start thinking about this, you say, this is why I'm trying to be careful. There are so many people that want us to replace Israel, Catholics, Protestants. There's so many that read the Bible that way, and it's wrong. But they want us to be Israel so bad. When you read most of the commentaries on Revelation about the candlesticks, they say, ah, candlestick, Exodus 25, Exodus 37, that would be the menorah in the Old Testament. You know what the menorah is? Remember from the tabernacle? It has one shaft, and then it has three branches that come out from it. But it didn't say Jesus was walking in the midst of the candlestick. It says he was walking in the midst of the candlesticks. They have to be separate churches. They cannot. If you teach, which I don't, that the candlestick is the menorah, here's what you logically follow. Well, then Jesus is pictured by the Pope and churches coming out, and it's all controlled. No, each church is its own body. Each church is individual, not all connected. And if you know church history, you know how big churches like to control little churches. You don't want to teach something like that. I don't think we have a problem with it, but it is not a menorah. It is not the lampstand of the tabernacle. It is a candlestick. So, here we go. Jesus is teaching us, what is one of the pictures of a church to him in the Bible that he wants us to know? What pictures the church? A what? Candlestick. Right? So, if you can, we're going to come back to that in just a second. So, watch this. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Go to Matthew chapter 5. We'll go to Matthew and Luke tonight, and then we'll draw a conclusion from this. We sing that song, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Well, Matthew 5:14, right, is gonna be the basis of that. So watch this. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the world or in the house. In the house. Okay? So, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the church is a picture of the candlestick. And Jesus said, when he lights a candle, right? He puts it on a candlestick. He doesn't hide it. We hide it. But what's that a picture of? The day Jesus, we were in darkness. Now we're children of light, right? We are the candle individually that Jesus lights, right? And we become a light. Now, Jesus said he is the light of the world. Said that in John 8 and John 9. We won't look at that. But Jesus said he lights the world. If he's lifted up, he draws all men unto him. But when you think about this, when you and I were the candles and Jesus lit you, he put you on a candlestick. He didn't put you under a bushel, which you could say, what is it that covers up our ability to shine for Jesus? Other priorities? Right? Love for money. Love for self. That's a bushel that can go over the light, right? Hey, can you go soul winning? Oh, I got a lot to do. Got. A bushel's being put over the light, right? So Jesus said he puts it on a candlestick. Okay? Let's think about this. The candlestick holds the light, right? It's not the source of the light, it's the candle, right? So, go to Luke chapter 8. Watch this. Luke chapter 8, look at verse 16. I just want to take the thought in Revelation 1:12-13, and then you go over to verse 20, you learn that the candlestick, Jesus walks in the midst, and that candlestick is the picture of what he wants us to think about when we think about a church. Okay? So, with that in mind, look at Luke 8. Ready? No, verse 16. Luke 8, verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed. Okay, if you light a candle and put it under a bed, I don't care what the bed's made of. You're gonna, you're in for a rough night. Okay, it's going up in smoke. But he says nobody does that. Nobody conceals the light. Isn't it interesting? You say, what a weird thing to use, lighting a candle and putting under a bed. But think about it just for a second. Okay, no, I wouldn't do that physically, but do people do that spiritually? What keeps their light from shining? Me time, right? Sloth, laziness, apathy, right? The bed. So isn't that interesting? It's either a bushel of their own priorities or it's a bed of sloth that conceals the light. So I think Jesus is, his words are perfect. Amen. That's why when I read it, I go, first you go, that's kind of goofy. Why would you put a candle? And then you go, I think I got it. Okay. Yeah. Ooh, that hurts. Yeah. Okay. So watch this. Puts it under, nobody puts it under a bed. Watch this. It says, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Okay, a couple of things I want you to draw from here. When you think of the church, what is Jesus trying to get you to think about? A candlestick. And you aren't the candlestick, but you're the candle that got lit. Then where does Jesus want you when he saves you? On a candlestick, right? In church. This is another way of saying Jesus wants you in church. It gets stronger, okay? Watch this, because notice this. When that candle is on the candlestick, it lights where? All those who come in to the house. Aren't we all put here by God, 1 Corinthians 12, for the edification of the body? Well, so the world can see Jesus and get saved. The world isn't going to get saved. It's for those who come into the church, right? Okay? So, your light should be shining on a candlestick. If our light's going to shine the way God intended for it to shine, when Jesus lights a candle, he puts it on a candlestick, and a candlestick is an assembly of Christians in a local church. Okay? I think we can draw that conclusion. Tonight, there's many towns in America that don't have a good Bible-preaching church. What I mean by that is there's some people who say, I've been to every church in my town, and there's not one church where the pastor believes the Bible's the Word of God. I can believe that. Then there's other people who will say, in my town where we go, there's not one church in my town that has not brought the world's music into it and basically has a praise and worship rock concert before the service. In other words, and I can see that. I understand that. Every church, the majority are rock and roll churches. Okay? There's a few, but the majority are. Okay? Think with me just for a second. If there was no good job in your town, would you sit home and go broke or would you drive farther? You know what you do, right? Okay. People move for a job and people will travel an hour and fight traffic for a job or mammon. But most won't drive farther than 20 minutes to church. And if you move to go to a good church, you're considered cultish. That's the day and age we live in. We had one family tried to move here, right? They tried to make it work for 2.5 years, but it's an expensive area. This is a hard area to make it. Young people don't normally stay here. They go 22 miles into Virginia where the cost of living drops in half. And they can get a $10 an hour job over there and make it, whereas they can't make it here unless they're living in their parents' basement or whatever, you know. And that's how come then that spirals everything. This is a hard area to make it in. But it is interesting. If you consider moving to go to a good church, you're considered, oh, you must be a part of a cult. When really, isn't that amazing? You'll hear me say this again. So you'd move to get a job to supply your physical needs, but you wouldn't move to go to a church to help you grow spiritually. So you would do what, you would move for money, but you wouldn't move for spiritual reasons if you didn't have a good church. To me, that's goofy, okay? But my wife and I, you say, well, you do that because you're a pastor. We moved to Martinsburg. I didn't know I was going to get hired there. I wanted my kids and family under Pastor Owens' ministry. When I got there, he hired me. He said, you bought a house here? I said, yes, sir, right down the road. He said, can I talk to you in about 3 hours? I said, sure. I didn't go there to get hired. I went there to go to church. I thought that that should be normal, right? So tonight, your light and my light lights those that are in. We read in Luke 8 that lights that they which enter in may see the light. In Matthew 5:15, it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So you're supposed to be in a good church, a good Bible-believing church. Amen? And when people say this, well, you know, I don't learn a whole lot when I go to church. How much do you think Jesus learned when he went to church? He was God. Yet it says in Luke 4, as his custom was. He was in church. But do you really, he could ask questions to the doctors and the lawyers. And that meant doctors in the Bible, right? And lawyers in the Bible at age 12. I really wonder what he got out of Sunday school. Amen? And I don't think he thought it was boring. Amen? Yet how many people do you hear say that? You're supposed to be in a good church. Can we look at one more spot? Go to Luke chapter 11. Ready? Luke chapter 11. Look, the purpose of coming to church is not for me to teach you something. Tonight, thus what... Okay, I don't think I've read any scripture tonight that you haven't read. And what I'm teaching tonight is nothing you haven't already heard. You've just never heard it this way. Right? I know you haven't heard it this way. Amen? Okay, the reason I'm telling you that is I don't go to church to hear things new. And if you're an older Christian, Brother Bernie, how long have you been saved? Okay, Brother Bernie's been saved longer than I've been alive. If he's read his Bible through once a year, and I've read my Bible through once a year, there's portions of the Bible that he's read more than I have. Right? But he still knows going to church is important. He doesn't come because I'm going to learn something I've never learned in 50 years of going to church. If I had to impress you every time you came to church, I'd give up and quit. I can't keep topping the last one. I just do my best with each one. Amen? But my job as a pastor isn't to teach you something you've never heard. It's to remind you of what you've heard. Right? It's a big book. Big book. I'm to put you in remembrance. So, just a thought. You're there in Luke. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Ready? Look at verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place. There it is. Neither under a bushel, but there it is for the third time, on a candlestick. That they which come in may see the light. And then Jesus teaches here, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. What's your eye? It's what you focus on, right? I have to spiritualize this because I know nobody has a... I can't look at somebody and go, ooh, your eye is evil. Your eye is what? What you focus on, right? And Jesus said the light that he lights when he saves you is shown by your eye. In other words, how you help other people is how you focus. Now that I'm saved, I have a new what? Purpose. I have a new focal point. I have a new purpose in life. And people say, well, I'm just trying to find myself. My goodness, do what Jesus saved you to do. Amen? You've got a new purpose. And the light of the body is the eye, or what you choose to focus on. And if you choose to focus on the wrong thing that God didn't save you to do, your life gets dark because it's filled with you, not what God saved you to do. I have to spiritualize it here because I know he's not talking physically, but watch this. Keep on reading because he's going to wrap it all up in verse 36. It says, verse 35, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. In other words, be careful about what you focus on, because the light of the body is the eye. Verse 36, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Okay, so there you've got some teaching on the light of what Jesus did when he saved you, when he lit you, right? He wants you, when you get lit, when you get saved, he wants you in a church on a candlestick so that you can light. How do we encourage each other? When we watch what God's doing in your life, that encourages me. And when you see what God's doing in my life and the prayers he's answering, that encourages you. We, those that are in the house here, not out there, see the light and we benefit from it. That's why your faithfulness to church is important. If you're not here, then those in the house can't see it, right? And it doesn't benefit. If I was to take tonight one candle, if we went outside when it's dark, and I wish I almost had a lighter up here and I didn't. I've got one, but it's not up here. So if I lit a lighter, you'd think, okay, a light gives off so much light, right? A flame, all right? And it can only get so big. But if you take that flame outside in the dark, you have to shield it from the wind, and it flickers, and it doesn't give off very much light. But if I take a flashlight, you know, I can't remember what they said the size of this is, 150 candle power. 150 candle power. That, you know what they're doing? They're saying if you took the light of 150 of those candles and you put it together, it becomes much more useful. Right? That's why church is so important. That's the illustration. Well, I'm so glad you can be saved without church. I've heard that. Well, I'll just read my Bible at home but you need church. Because together, we shine brighter and can do God's work better than you doing it by yourself. Amen? Isn't that a beautiful picture? Aren't you glad I didn't shine this in your eyes? Aren't you glad? Okay, but you get it, right? I think the biggest flashlight I've ever held was a 10,000 power candle, 10,000 candle power flashlight. My dad had just gotten it in the mail, and he goes, hey, try out my new flashlight. Went outside, you know, wow. He lights up the whole backyard. The light helps those in the house so that we can go out and do God's work. The world's always going to be dark. Amen? Go back to Revelation, and let's read it one more time. Revelation chapter 1. Ready? Look at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice, the Lord Jesus, that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and a girdle about the paps with a golden girdle. Verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. One more thing. I'm consistent when I use a word candlestick in the New Testament. The menorah was called a candlestick. But do you remember how sons of God defined in the Old Testament are angels? But sons of God in the New Testament are when you get saved, right? I think the same thing is true with candlestick. In the New Testament, candlestick means a local church. In the Old Testament, what did the menorah picture? The illumination of the Holy Spirit upon the table of showbread that teaches you the Bible. Okay? I think keeping them separate, I find it consistent all the way through. And I hope tonight, as far as I gave you a new way of showing you an old truth, church is very important. If you're going to shine, let your light so shine. Just like God wants it to shine, it's not going to do that unless you get in church. That's why it's important, the people that we lead to Christ, we tell, hey, come to church. It's good to sing together. It's good to, I hope tonight blesses your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this truth. And Lord, I pray that please you'd help us as we go to a lost and dying world. And Father,